Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You're joining us in the extra hour. Oh, my goodness. With me in the studios is Barbara Still. Hello, Barbara.
Hey.
I am so glad to have you with us. We'll be right back in just a moment. Want to encourage you, if you're joining us in the extra hour today, to remind you that Christ in you is the hope of glory, that we can believe God for a third great awakening. We talked about that in the first hour. You can find out more at the VFN TV blog. Listen, let's believe God for a third great awakening in America. You're at your desk in your office, just kick back, grab a cup of coffee. I'll keep working. And listen up, we're going to bless you in the second hour. We're going to bless you next hour today. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're listening to VFN Radio in the Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio is Barbara Still from Texas.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You know, I want to give a quick correction before we get started. So glad to have you in the studio. The that I talked about yesterday during God's News Behind the News that an Israeli citizen came over the border to Egypt, and he was shot by two militant Egyptian soldiers. But what happened was, this is the correction, two militant Egyptians crossed over into Israel and killed an Israeli. And so we are in a day and time, you know, if that happened in America, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, we would just smash that situation, you know? But for some reason, you know, when it comes to Israel, you know, there's a different mindset. You know, it's a second heaven mindset, you know? But we need to stand with Israel. And I encourage you, if you have not yet found out about CUFI, Christians United for Israel, you know, it's a very important organization that kind of keeps America on feet over the fire in the context of you stay with Israel, you stand with Israel. And also, you know, partnering with Israel themselves. You know, we have Avi Mizrahi that we are connected with there in Tel Aviv. And he has a ministry called Dugid Ministry, which means fishing boat. And it's like a coffee shop. He has a church there, Adonai Believe Fellowship. He has a feeding ministry there where he feeds, he cooperates with the government there, and they give him the food to distribute to a certain amount of families there that is in need. And pay attention to Israel. You know, don't agree. Don't stop praying for Israel. Remember, there's even an application you can go. You can search for this app on your app store in probably all your app stores, but I know in the Apple store, it's called Pray for Israel, and it'll come on at 12 o'clock noon, wherever you're at. So every time zone, and it'll remind you, it'll play some music, and it'll remind you to pray for Israel. And think about it, every hour on 24-hour period, somebody's being reminded to pray for Israel. I mean, just anything. You know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for protection of Israel, and every prayer counts. The enemy wins when we stop thinking about God's perspective of Israel and stop supporting Israel and stop praying for Israel. And we don't, and that's what Avi was telling us recently. He's like, just don't, as long as you don't, you know, give in to stop praying for Israel, then the enemy doesn't win. So I encourage you, if you hadn't done that yet. Well, Barbara, oh my goodness, I'm so excited to have you here all the way from Texas.
I'm excited to be here.
So tell us what's happening in Texas over there.
In Texas, it's quite warm. Mm-hmm. It's already over 100 degrees every day.
No! 100 degrees? Serious?
Yeah, you have to stay in a lot.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, 100 degrees.
103 to 105.
Oh, that's why there's a lot of open land out there. Is that normal or is it just a season
this
thing?
This is a little warmer than usual.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Well, you know, I know you're a teacher out there in the Houston school system.
Spring ISD.
Spring ISD. And what's it like being a teacher over there?
Very similar to what you were describing in the first hour. And I want you to know I was a substitute teacher on that campus that you were describing.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious.
In Pensacola?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Get out of Dodge.
It broke me in for teaching in Texas.
Oh, did it?
Helps me a lot.
Well, yeah. Teachers were really cool there because they were there because they cared about these kids. I mean, it was pretty
right,
neat.
Right. You know? Had to kind of be laid back a little, but on guard.
Yes, on guard. Most definitely, because I remember when I arrested one of the students for marijuana or something, some drug or something on him, and I was patting him down. He had a tracking device on his ankle, and he was arrest. I guess you call it house arrest, but he has a school. And then when I ran what he was on house arrest for, he's on house arrest for armed burglaries. And the teacher didn't even know. And here she is getting on to him about, you know, paperwork and stuff in school. And she has no idea this guy has such a temper that he's wearing an arm. And he was wanted for armed burglaries out of Texas. Well, you know, it was Texas.
Of course.
But I was patting him down. You're thinking you're going to pat him up, cuff him, take him there. I was like, what is this on your ankle? And I'm about ready to draw down thinking he's got a gun, you know? And I was a police officer. If those don't know, I was doing that. And what it was that tracking device that he had on his ankle there. And I thought, I went straight to the school system. I said, listen, that is so wrong to that teacher. She should have known everything about that kid. You endangered her by putting her in there. And, you know, I've made a big thing about it because, you know,
right.
She's just trying to teach them. She's not the police. Police officer, so I say police. And
Popo.
Yeah. And the, so, you know, and I think they made some rules about it, you know, notifying them. But I was just could not believe. So then you start doubting every student.
Exactly.
You start thinking, okay, which one's armed today? You know, it's sort of like how. You know, Steve explains in Iraq how it was, you know, have people in Iraq that, you know, you have all the good people mixed in with all the bad people and you didn't know, especially coming from another country, you couldn't identify, you know, who was going to be, who was armed and who wasn't and who had bad intentions or not. And so you had to be really careful when they were clearing houses and stuff in Iraq as a soldier. And teachers don't know.
Nope.
Teachers don't know.
We don't.
Wow. Can you imagine? Say, I'm going to paddle you. He's like, well, I'm going to shoot you. It's like, oh. Well, you know, actually, I had a friend of mine that was teaching at a school that she had a fifth grader. No, a first grader. It was whatever all that would be. And he looked at her, and she said something about bringing your homework or something. He goes, I'm going to bring a gun. I'm going to bring a gun tomorrow, and I'm going to shoot you. Isn't that wild? And she couldn't help but go, I believe this kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first. That was Pat, if you didn't hear it. He's going, was that me? No, he wasn't. Right. No, that was on the roof of the store. Anyway, duh. And so she quit. She left. A good teacher just left at that point, you know. And we're strapping in America, we're strapping every form of authority and tying their hands behind their back, and we're demanding them from them to produce like they can with their gifts, but we're telling them, but you have no authority to do it.
No authority, and don't mention God.
Don't mention God at all. Trying to bring God out of the schools and everything else, you know. I was just hearing this morning that, you know, in New York, they just made a blanket rule that you could not, you know, how churches meet in school gyms. They totally ran out the churches out of all the gyms there. They're trying to change it, but it's like, get ready, church. You know, we have to, if we wake up, since we have a democracy, you know, we can change things. And you can find out more about listening to VFN Radio. We're talking to you about original intent of our founding fathers. You know, you have a right as an American just to share your opinion and choose who you want to choose and find out what their values are and put people in office that agree with your value system. And then they make laws and the laws change. Yeah, we have a republic. Yeah, we have a republic. We're not a democratic government, although we would be. I know I did mention we're not a democracy. It is a democracy, but it's not a democratic. It's not Democrat. You know, I kind of need to rephrase that a little bit. You see that on the blog, you know. But it's a republic. We have representative government, and they're supposed to represent you. First, if they're going to represent you, they need to find out what you want. And then they go back. They actually read the laws. And how many leaders recently, with the health care bill, they said, well, I didn't have time to read it. Well, the whole purpose of you being there was supposed to read it and come back to the people. Remember the town hall meetings they had during that time? And people were screaming and hollering. It's like, that actually is supposed to take place. But the problem is they stood in front of the people and said, we didn't read it.
Right. Pelosi said, we haven't unpacked it yet. So just as soon as you vote for it, we'll go ahead and read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes no sense.
We have some things that was coming up, you know, about that, you know, so many things have been set in place already through bureaucracy that, you know, we're going to have a tough road to hoe, you know, coming out of all of this, you know, in the future. And we just pray the Lord will, you know, bless us. So tell me this.
Yes.
So what's happening in Spring, Texas? What's God doing in spring?
God is moving, you know. As I'm listening to this program every day, you play a spot with one of my grandsons, Jamian.
Oh, that's right.
And
yes.
It brings me to tears every time. So we're praising and worshiping Sunday, and the Holy Spirit falls on this six-year-old child.
Six.
And he starts prophesying. I had him lay hands on some of our
6 years old
people gathering there. Yes, he's laying hands and prophesying. God moves on babies, children.
Wow, that is so beautiful. Yeah, I mean, tell the Lord's with us, young man, and he's the one that actually Jamian does a spot on talking about abiding.
Yes,
and we hear him on VFN radio. That's actually Jamian.
Yes, that's Jamian.
Yeah, and he is he's the one that said, you know, and what's your name? And then he just started talking, you know, and he's like, oh, my goodness, you know, subject, verb, agreement and everything. I'm like, oh, he's got all them teachers around him. But it's so true. It's a genuine, authentic encounter with
God. Yes, it is.
And so he was pacing back and forth, I understand.
He starts pacing back and forth when the Holy Spirit falls on him during our praise and worship time. He'll start pacing back and forth and saying things like, yes, he is Lord. It's Jesus. He's our God.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
And you can see his mouth moving, but sometimes the music is nice and loud. And
right.
So if you get close, you'll hear what he's actually saying. His mom says he does that sometime if they're at the park. He'll get up on the bench and start doing it.
Well, Jamie, if you're listening this morning, I want to tell you I'm just so proud of you, and we love you. We have I had a great time when we were in Texas, and Jamie we had to pick an animal. We really had to pick an animal. And, of course, we were all giving him a hard time.
Right.
Well, is it an inside animal or is it an outside animal? We had a wonderful time, didn't we? Oh, man. Yeah, very good food. Well, that was Pat talking about how good the food was over there. Probably didn't hear that, but I was saying it was good food. And so what else is happening? Tell us what's happening in spring. I mean, give us a Texas perspective, the Longhorn perspective over there.
You know, in the state of Texas in spring, I don't know if it's considered the Bible Belt, but there's a lot of believers, a lot of people that will stand for what's right. In the state of Texas. Did you know we have our own Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, because Omarion did it.
Yes.
For me. He did it, and he sang the state song.
Yes.
And he did it really well. But I thought, well, that's what we need. I mean, we need that kind of
allegiance.
Vision. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of allegiance and a vision for our states and, you know, our direction. I mean, Texas knows their stuff.
They do.
You know?
They do. And Omarion is another one of my grandsons. They're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. She has lots of children, lots of grandchildren. I mean, well, you know, so tell us about the times that you've gone out in the streets what did you do? I mean, what was laid on your heart to go out to the homeless and and minister to them in Houston?
Well, initially, I felt God pulling me out of traditional church services, which made no sense to my carnal mind. So I finally did what he said, and I said, okay, God, now that I'm not sitting in a church, what is it you want me to do? So I just felt led that he wanted me to start feeding the homeless. So we did exactly what you said the first hour. We got a couple of loaves of bread and some mayonnaise and mustard and some meat and cheese. And we just made about 2 dozen sandwiches. And I didn't even know where to find the homeless in the beginning. So we just rode around downtown Houston. And I found out that and when we did it on Saturdays, we would run into all kinds of ministries doing the same thing. And then I felt led to do it on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And no one was feeding anybody. So we would have large crowds and feeding the homeless on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. because all Christians were in the buildings. And so we started, it started out with just 2 dozen sandwiches.
So you're saying you weren't a Christian?
No. That did sound like that.
It did.
All the traditional Christians were sitting in pews.
Right.
And which is nothing wrong with worshiping.
Yeah, I have a good friend that's a pew.
And we started out with just 2 dozen sandwiches and worked into just dozens and dozens of sandwiches and meals. And we did it on a regular, consistent basis. And then we would, on holidays, we would try to collect blankets and give out blankets and distribute whole meals instead of sandwiches. And it was a blessing. We met a lot of people, led a lot to Christ.
Hopefully we get a lot of those, get some of those pictures up on the blog today so everybody can see. But, you know, that is, you know, what he tells us to do. And he just, in today's word of wisdom, we talked about that. Right. He that is kind to the poor.
Right.
You know, lends to God.
Yes.
And God will repay him for it.
Right.
You know, and well, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's really neat what you're doing. I know you encouraged a lot of people across the whole VFN family to begin to get involved, you know, in their cities and seeing how they can participate, you know, in the same. I want to encourage all of our listeners, you know, I mean, what does it take to go get a loaf of bread and some mayonnaise and meat and some, I didn't mention cheese, but put cheese on it. You know, that'd be good. That's nice. And put them in Ziploc bags, I guess, or little sandwich baggies, yeah. Or something.
And then a bottle of water, some kind of drink.
Yeah. How easy is that? You know, and just start in the name of Jesus,
right.
You know, in the name of Jesus, that, you know, the Lord has called me to be kind to you. And I just want to love on you and give you this in the name of the Lord, you know, and let them know that's what's happened. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, you know, that wouldn't be on our heart necessarily,
right.
Do in that mindset. And imagine that. That's what's going to change America. What's going to change America is going to be when we obey God in that area, one of those areas,
yes.
Well, another area we need to obey God, mm-hmm. in. And then all of a sudden, if you have all of everybody who professes to be a believer makes a few sandwiches and hits the street, you know what I'm saying? That's a lot. That's a lot. But the problem is that's when you start finding out, you know, who is and who's professing.
Right.
You know, but think about how simple that is. That's repentance, right? He says, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. He said, you know, give your coat to somebody, do something, you know. And he says the axe is already laid at the root, which is totally just changes all doctrine, confronts it, don't it? How can the axe be at the root? Because I've already, anyway. So I know that you have a new church plant happening down there in Klein.
Yes,
we're excited about that. This is one thing I want to ask you. I know that, you know, you had all this knowledge and you know, and you've all your life you wanted to do something for God as soon as you found him, or he found you.
Found me.
Yeah, and you, by the way, you can get Barbara's testimony.
Yes.
She's one of the ones that are available at meetmyfather.org. We're hoping we're going to have a picture of her and her dreads soon, you know, there, right?
Don't we have that? Dreadlocks, yes.
Or her dreadlocks.
Mm-hmm.
Locks. And so...
they weren't Goldilocks.
They weren't Goldilocks. And so... But I want to, you know, tell me about VFNU, because I know that, you know, you have one mindset when you're coming in and how it just kind of shifted things. I'm going to talk about VFNU for a moment.
VFNU is a wonderful thing. You definitely would get a different mindset. you start seeing things from a biblical perspective. You start seeing everything from a biblical perspective. It changes your life. Once you start changing your mindsets, everything else falls into line. I went through VFNU 2 years ago mm-hmm. at the beginning, the first session, but it was just audio. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't have the tangible things that the other students were having then because I was in Texas and they were right. physically going through it here in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. But then everything went online and I was able to see everything that was going on and read. And it made so much sense. So I'm thankful that I went through it a second time.
It's totally transforming, isn't it?
Totally transforming. It is.
And the first, you know, the first VFNU is a birthing process. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much more now in VFNU because right. God just unfolded so many different dimensions of what it's like just to be the church. You know, it's not yes. that complicated.
It really isn't.
But it costs you, you know, salvation's free, but it costs you everything.
It does.
You can't just pop in and pop out, you know, in regards to, you know, go do something at the church as if you're not the church. You actually live your life in the context of the church.
Right.
You know, and it's easier when you do that. But then you're confronted when you do that. You're confronted with the fact, like, well, I didn't really want to be the church. I just kind of wanted to go to it. There's some place I could go to. Well, you go to anything.
Yeah. Right.
But we are the building of God. You know, and the God's word applies to us.
And why it takes us all so long to understand that, I'm not sure. It's just such a mindset
yeah.
that has to be changed.
Well, I think, you know, it's been taught for so long now, you know, that it's promulgated probably since, you know, if you look all the way from the progressive movement, you know, about 1908, whatever, Woodrow Wilson. And
finally something before my time.
Yeah, right. Just right. Anyway, and they begin to just kind of change the way that we look at things. They begin to change our history. They begin to redo things all the way up until the time when you look at marriage change and the yes. way that, you know, good things happen in regards to people's rights that happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too far away, by the way. You know, a lot of American things. Oh, that's way back when. It wasn't way back when.
It wasn't.
And some of your brothers and sisters that are with you today, they've seen or their parents have seen the very things that you think is in history, and they're to be honored and to understand the context of that. And that'll be a future program on VFN Radio. But and it's one thing the church is going to have to get. If there's going to be a third great awakening, we got to understand this. You got to understand this. I know that Rick Joyner prophesied, you know, out of Morningstar Ministries that the next great awakening would come from the African American people in America because they were held under oppression for a time and a season, and God's going to anoint them to be able to bring the church into revival and into a great awakening. You know, and I'm like, that'd be so cool. You know what I'm saying? I just love that. God's just. God is so just. And quite often the counterfeit shows up before the real
right.
deal.
Right.
You know, and don't be disheartened, you know, when you see somebody misrepresenting. Realize that, you know, God can do what he wants to do. And I just pray that word comes to pass, you know. And but you need to really have, you know, empathy is so important. You know, you can't really, people don't want to hear from you until they actually know that you care. And you can't care unless you understand. So you have to seek to get understanding. You got to walk in emotionally or mentally in someone else's shoes and understand it didn't just get this way, you know. And there's a process and things that happen. But and so VFNU, I know that, you know, what you got from it was just so powerful. You know, days of our flesh, you know,
right.
you know, that's a powerful revelation, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, by Steve Hill.
Yeah, talk about that.
Days of our flesh. Oh, it was just an awesome teaching. It actually transforming and I'm so thankful that I was able to go through it, you know, and.
When you think about it, you know, everybody thinks they have forever.
Right. Yeah. And he just named so many of the men and women of God that have gone before us and how they died. By the time they were 50, they, you know, they were no longer among us. So we don't have as long as we think we have.
I got a book right here in front of me, God's Generals, you know, it's written by Robert Slearden.
Right.
And yeah, 50s, you know, yes. pretty much 50s. A few of them, you know, past that. And it could be the fact, I don't know why that would happen, but I know that if you understand what Steve's talking about, and you have that passion and the drive inside of you, because as soon as he realized his days was numbered,
right,
and he has a limited amount of time, and you got to get that. If you don't realize you're gonna, the question is not, are you gonna die?
Yeah.
This is the question. The questions are this: is when will you die? How will you die? And how will you answer for the life that you live? That's it. It's not will you die. You're going to die. It's appointed once to die, and then the judgment. And if you really get that, you know, you say, okay, now what do I want to do with this limited vapor that James says called life? And he got busy. Yeah, he and Jerry got busy, and that's what we're about. You know, getting busy. He's like, oh my goodness, I don't want to waste. And you don't know if you have tomorrow.
You don't.
You don't know. You know, and so. Yeah, VFNU, this was all about. It's about, listen, giving you God's perspective of that you can do this. You don't know how many days you have left, and you can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by doing what's right. And not only that, but God's giving you a great reward in this life called family, that you have brothers and sisters in the Lord, spiritual mothers and fathers that live as family. You celebrate. You go through difficult times together, but you have each other, you know? God wanted a family, so he sowed a son, right? He's Father God. Not only is Jesus our Lord, but he's our elder brother. We're like heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're the family of God. Isn't that awesome? And then the church has turned into some institution.
Right.
You know, Charles Simpson says this. He says, we institutionalize our children when they were little in tradition, and they institutionalize us when we're older. You know? And it's really true, because they didn't live in the context of family. You sent them to a neurosurgeon and a podiatrist, you know, in ministry concepts where you said, well, I got a children's ministry and we have a women's ministry and a men's ministry. And it's all this breaking the family up. And now, you know, you're getting older and they're thinking, well, we're just going to put you in this institution because I guess that's what you do, right? Because we didn't build any family relationships. So we don't feel that way towards you. And it's very sad. I mean, we see that happen, and it's like very, very sad. And so we're called to be family. So our reward is we're working from a place of success, is what you find out through VFNU.
Yes.
That we're not working for success. We're not trying to achieve something that gets us to a place of righteousness. We're already right in God. We're accepted in the family of God. But then also that you do it, you're doing it in the context of a loving family. I remember, this one guy told me this. He said, you know, it's pretty bad, you know, when you just dread going to work every Monday. You just dread going to work every Monday. And he said, it's really bad when you're the one that it's your company. You know, and so many people in ministry that love God are trying to do it for God in the context of men's traditions who set aside God's way of doing things. And they just dread showing up. It's just one big, you know, and it's difficult, and it's all political, and it's all just not family. You know, people are maneuvering and all this kind of stuff. It's like, really? You know, really? And then, you know, what we see, we start being the church, it's like, we're excited about coming together. Yeah. You know, you're not dressing up for nothing. Yeah. You just kind of come together and just are.
Just be,
you know, and you have to unlearn. If the best thing for somebody, you know, entering the kingdom of God. Now what's happening is the people who've never been religious, but it's real difficult for those that have been religious. There's a lot of unlearning to do and to realize what was men's traditions and what is God's commands. They're a big difference, you know? And then from this wonderful environment called family, then you just go out and tell people about this great news that Jesus died for them and now lives for them and wants them in the family, not to be a member of a church. You know, he wants them to be the church. You know, he wants them to have his inheritance. He wants them to have the inheritance of God, right? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He wants to be a co-laborer with them, you know, not to join the organization. And he wants to walk with them on a daily basis and abide with them.
Yes.
And just share about his heart to them, You know, Proverbs says, if you just would have listened, I just would have shared my heart to you. And then, and you to share your heart with him. And then y'all, you talk, and then, you know, just like Jamian talks about, right. You know. And so it's just so different.
Very.
You know, so I want to encourage you that if you personally feel that you're ready to just break loose from religion, you know, not a relationship with God. Now I'm talking about religion, men's traditions and all these different things that have held you back. And if you're using it for an excuse to say, I can't do it because, you know, listen, you're going to be held accountable for that. You answer alone. There's no suspects or witnesses at the throne room. You can't go like, well, so-and-so said. You answer alone. I want to encourage you that, you know, you can go to VFNU.org, VFNU.org, and you can find out, you know, a little bit about VFNU, but also maybe go to VFNfamily.org and see if that is for you. If you're ready to be family, there's one thing that we're missing, even like I talked about earlier with this young man who didn't have family. We have to rediscover family. The nation will change when the family changes, and the family will change when fathers get in their place and mothers get in their place. And the upside downness, it says a rebellious people, it said, this is what the word of God says, not me. A rebellious people says women and children rule over it. You have boy leaders. You have boy leaders. And although they're men, they respond like boys. Like, that ain't fair. It's like, really? Really? And so, you know, but when things turn back again, there's order. The father's order comes back into the family again. So I want to encourage you. You want to find out more, you can go to VFNU.org and find out more about the VFN family. You can go to VFNfamily.org. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, it's just, you know, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. You know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, mm-hmm. I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us. But they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today. Do you remember our trip to Israel?
Yes.
You know, I remember that, you know, when we were in Israel, that we stayed with the people pretty much. We'd stay in hotels and all that. And we were staying in a house in Tiberias. Mm-hmm. And when we were there, we, for some strange reason, we lost 10 pounds, 10 pounds of weight. Their portions, you know what I'm saying? America's got like, oh, you want 4 gallons of butter and 25 gallons of ice cream, mm-hmm. you know, and you go to Israel's, you know, stores over there and it's like, okay, would you like a tablespoon of butter? And, you know, their portions are so much smaller, you know. I guess when you're a smaller country, you got to have smaller portions so you fit.
Yeah.
No, true. I was messing with you. So then, you know, and I remember the food. You remember the food? It's like, oh my, you know, you worked all day long. You walked to Mount Ball. You've gone to all these places, you know, and you're just famished. I mean, you're famished as can be. And we came back in, and they said, would you like an extra tomato sandwich? It's like, I want meat. I want meat. You know, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And remember, we were like, go ahead.
Remember the pizzeria?
Oh, yeah. We think, oh, pizza. We're like,
this is it.
Yeah, we're right there in the northern border, right? Yeah, right there, up there by Syria, where all these battles are taking place mm-hmm. now. Where you prayed over the borders,
yes.
And you told the guards that, and we thought the pizza, right? We thought it was going to be good,
yeah.
Because the kosher laws, they don't mix dairy and meat. You're not going to have in Israel,
yeah.
You know, you're not going to have, you know, pepperoni,
no.
on top of cheese
or sausage
or so. Yeah, definitely not sausage, pork. Yeah, right. That's definitely not kosher, right? So. Yeah, we got this big pizza, right?
Yep.
Remember that? Yep. Oh my goodness. And they had green olives all over. Green.
Green.
Not black. Green. But green olives all over it, you know?
Very bitter.
Oh my goodness. So you're sitting there going, here it goes. Your mouth's drooling with all these. And all of a sudden you stick it in your mouth. You're thinking, oh my goodness, another pound. We just lost another pound that one moment.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you've ever
left pizza behind, did you? That's the first time you ever left
that
pizza
behind. That was the
behind.
First time, I think.
Yeah. You remember we were sitting down to eat, and some Arab Christians sent us some food over, some bread over. Uh-huh. And they laid it right in the middle of the table. And they cooked this real thin, thin bread. I don't know what they call it. But it was, it looked like skin, like human skin. It was so thin. I'm like, oh my gosh. Not only is it presently not good, it looks like something that's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And so I'm just talking about weight loss prayer. You know, if you want to lose weight, mm-hmm. if you want to lose weight, you know, we need some more time in Israel, don't we? Or at least I do. You know, I need some time in Israel. But I remember, you know, going through that and being able to actually lose weight. It was totally amazing. But remember, we finally came down to, I don't know, it's probably where in Galilee, Galilean experience, you know, yeah. they had a McDonald's was there. Remember the McDonald's? I mean, we were pumped, dude. This is like a McDonald's. We're finally going to get a familiar taste. This is going to be good. Right. And I was like, I don't even eat in America. I don't even eat Big Macs and stuff. I mean, I do every now and then, but then I remember why I don't. And so I actually, we got the Big Mac mm-hmm. and we sat down outside, you know, and we're thinking, this is it.
Gotta be.
I have no idea what that was between the buns, but it was not meat. And it tasted nothing like a Big Mac. And so I just want to say this morning, if you want to lose weight, if you're wanting to lose 10 pounds, if you want to lose 10 pounds in your life,
10 pounds in 10 days.
Yeah. Don't stay in the American hotels over in Israel. Stay amongst the people. I remember eating one time when I was there that I stayed with in a kibbutz with a Russian couple there, mm-hmm. Russian Jews, and that was good. They had like pancakes for breakfast, pancakes for lunch.
Oh.
That was not a weight loss program. And pancakes for supper.
Yeah.
And I thought that wasn't good until you and I went and had skin and olives on pizza and whatever that was.
Chickpeas.
Oh, chickpeas. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got the falafel, right? The falafel. Say the word.
Falafel?
Yeah, I got the – well, that's pretty good. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this has got to be good, you know, carving a piece of meat on the street and throwing it in some stuff. And so I took chickpea sauce, and I should have ate it without the chickpea sauce, obviously, but – it just, you know, it's got to be good. Everybody's putting chickpea. He's like, you know. And so I took chickpea and I poured it over top of it. And you're like in these little small streetways. And well, it's not like America where you got like an acre of food. You can like chunk something.
Yeah, right.
There's like trash cans on every corner. And so I'm walking with this big, huge thing I killed with chickpea sauce. Not being able to eat it. You can't just throw it anywhere. And I had to carry that thing all over the place. But it was so wild, man. But I've had some, you know, when I was there before, you know, I had some great food and some great time with others. But I just want to encourage you, if you would like to lose 10 pounds today, that if you go to Israel and eat what they put in front of you, you will probably eat less, you know. No, but they do have some good food over there. Remember, they don't mix meat and cheese. And no, Pat, they're not going to have sausage on things.
No.
Pork, anything. You know
and
what I'm
no
saying?
Hot sauce.
Yeah. And so we even went to the back door one place, like, could you throw a piece of meat on top of this? But praise God. We made it back. We lived. And, you know, even though we lost the 10 pounds, I just want to give a praise report. We found it.
Yes. Yeah,
we
yeah,
found
yeah.
it. And we found its friend. And we found its friend. Well, I just want to say first, you know, that it was chickpea sauce I poured over my falafel. It was not chickpea. One of our listeners, like, that was so funny. By the time you got to it, you didn't bring the sauce up. You just said, I poured chickpea all over myself. Like, it's chickpea sauce. But they do have probably a lot in common. I don't know. It was not that good because it was so cool. I was so excited, Barbara, because it was going to be meat. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't eat a lot of meat, did we? It's like, I think the closest thing was feta cheese. Green olives do not go on pizza. Oh, my nasty goodness. And so it's just different taste buds, you know what it is. But there is really good food in Israel. It was just happened to be the crew we were with. And we went to Ben Yehuda Mall up there and had some nice steak. And they got, you know, good stuff. They got some, as a matter of fact, they got the best, probably the best food in the world. It just happened to be the crew that, you know, a different viewpoint of things and all that. I want to remind you also that don't forget you can go to the VFNTV blog and you can find out about Joel Rosenberg's brand new book. And this man hears clearly. I mean, he's got so much wisdom. It's called Implosion. Talking about America, you know, imploding from within, about how that we're focused so much on the outside forces that we don't realize that what's happening. If the church, and he says the only hope for America, you know, is the church. And it's not the building organizations. It's you, a believer, you. If my people who are called by my name, not if my organizations, not if my denominations, like if you, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. If we turn from wicked ways, then humble ourselves, he'll hear us and he'll forgive us and he'll restore our land. He just may give us another 100 years in America. Think about it. Isn't that awesome? And he talks about the first great awakening and the second great awakening and produces a probable hope from what I understand. You know, I've got it on order. I was listening to him talk about it, that, you know, maybe, you know, there is a great third great awakening coming to America. We actually are aiming and believing God for it. But he also spends the first half of his book talking about why we're imploding, you know, and everything is imploding, but it boils down to it. The church is imploding. Right. The church is in apostasy. The church is doing things that's totally outside the simple commands of God. And we just got to turn back to it. It doesn't matter what political, it has nothing to do with all that. It has to do with us outside the context of this whole world system and just saying, you know what? He told us not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we'll be able to know and test what His will is for us, His good and pleasing will. And so it's us going, you know what? We've accepted all these ways, you know, and we got to change that. And that's what VFN Radio is about, too, to help you. And VFN TV, that you're having all these conversations come over you every day. You know, all these newscasts, but they don't have God's perspective of what's going on.
No, they don't.
There's not an encouraging word, somebody reminding you of who you are and that you're not crazy when you're sitting here saying, you know, the world will tell you you're crazy when you're actually not crazy and you're doing the most sane thing at all, which is following the Creator and the words of Jesus. And so when you hear VFN Radio, you're thinking, oh my goodness, we're in this thing together. You know, we're here to encourage you. And so you can find that at the VFN TV blog. Go to VFNTV.com and click on blog. And don't forget also that Cooper's picture that he drew, having that dream of heaven, his 7-year-old's up in Virginia. Hey, Cooper. And Nicole, hey, Nicole, how you doing today? That it's really getting it around, but it's so cool. I mean, he had a biblically correct, I mean, he saw heaven.
7 years old.
7 years old, Revelation 22. He's actually writing out, you know, what's in heaven, you know. And then we hadn't had the other dream. Hopefully we'll get the other dream. Hey, Cooper, draw us another picture of what you saw when the New Jerusalem was coming down. Isn't that awesome? That is so cool. You got Jamie in Texas. You got Cooper in Virginia.
Right.
I mean, you got, you know, Elijah and Isaiah up in New Jersey. You got kids just on fire for God. Elijah's becoming a man, so he's older now. But give a shout out to you. Happy birthday, little delayed birthday right there. And but know that there's hope, and that's what we're here to be able to encourage you. If you can go to the VFN TV application. If you have an Android phone, you can go to your app store, your Google App Store, or your what's it called? Google Play, and type in V as in Victor, VFN TV, and it comes up. You'll see a VFN TV app. Download it for free, and you can get the broadcast everywhere you go. You can get highlights from that day or all the different daily programs that are there. And you can have, even there's teachings available for you right now. I think about, you know, one of our listeners in Orlando, when they listen to, you know, is America under judgment? It's just the question. Just ask the question. And just like Rosenberg presents the evidence in his book, Implosion, you know, I just presented the evidence, you know, what's happening. And then what does God's word say about it? And at the very end of this, you're able to draw a conclusion based on the truth and firmness. And so she was shocked, wasn't she? She was totally shocked that this is accurate. So you can get that right now. You just go to your Google Play store and type in VFNTV.com, pull up the app, download it, and start listening today. And you don't even have to be a VFN TV subscriber to get all that. And there's so much more available for you. Also, you can just go to your browser. You know, if you don't have an Android telephone, you can go to your browser and type in VFNTV.com and just follow the steps, and you'll save it to your home screen, and there you go. The very same thing's available for you. It's so important. You know, the Lord tells us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We're going to have to get knowledge. We're going to have to get wisdom in this day, and we're going to have to apply the wisdom that we get, right?
Right.
So tell us what else is happening in Texas.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention about Steve Hill's message, mm-hmm. Days of Our Flesh, he was sharing that, you know, we send our youth to church and they have all kinds of video games and performances and all kinds of things available for the youth. And he was sharing that our youth just need an encounter. That's all they need, an encounter with God. And so when you were talking about Cooper, a 7-year-old, and then there's Jamie and 6 years old, and Jaden in Atlanta just turned, he's getting ready to turn 8 years old. These children have had an encounter mm-hmm. through abiding.
Right.
They can abide. They are learning how to abide with God at an early age. All they need is an encounter.
Right.
We have so many problems with our youth, young people. They just need an encounter.
That's right.
And if they parents or they can go to iabide.org, mm-hmm. and learn how to abide, things will change.
That's
things
it.
In the entire household begin to change just by abiding.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, and many people encounter Jesus. Many people were healed and delivered and received from his ministry. Many people were fed from his ministry. And but then some people, even in an encounter, they waltz away. But everybody didn't. But you understand, once they've encountered God,
yes.
there's nothing else you can do. That is the epicenter. That is the Mount Everest of experience with our Creator. Once they've encountered the kingdom of God, you know, you can't add to that. If you start trying to add to that and throw in religion, trying to keep people in a place where they said no, the day they do come to their senses, the day that they say, you know, I do want this God I encountered 5 years ago or 2 years ago, you know, I do want him like the prodigal son did. You know, you mess it up when you start trying to be religious on top of that. How can you add to an encounter with God? You can't.
No way.
You just can't add to that. And you don't want to touch it. You don't want to touch those things that God's doing and allow people to go through their processes. And Jesus turned around, you know, when he had, you know, thousands following him and his disciples were there. And he said, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, well, all these guys have encountered God. So it was already a done deal. Because he said, listen, if you don't believe what I say, at least believe the encounter that you had. Believe the miracles that you're seeing. And and they walked away. Some of those guys walked away. You think about it. But, you know, Peter said, you know, when Jesus turned and said, where else can I go? You know, you have the keys to eternal life. And in the progression of Peter's revelation, when he said, who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Son of God. And flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. You know, Peter was abiding. He was hearing the voice of God. And he heard that who Jesus was. And it was just very exciting, you know, to see that revelation. He says, on this rock, the rock of an abiding relationship with me, with God, that I'm going to build this church. Isn't that something? And if we're away from abiding,
right?
You think about it. If we're away from abiding, then you're not on the rock. You know, he says that those who hear these teachings of mine and don't put them into practice, you know, they're like somebody who builds their house in the sand. When the storm comes, you know, you're going to be washed away.
Because we know the storm is coming.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And then, but those who actually hear these teachings and put them into practice, and you got to have God to empower you to do that. You've got to abide with the Lord to be able to do it. He asks us to do something, Barbara, that we can't even do outside of his empowerment. But he's wide open to empower us. He wants us to go every day and get our daily bread. He wants us to be every moment walking with him and abiding with him. He wants us to be that kind of dependency. It's a relationship. And he empowers us to obey those teachings and walk in them. And he said, that person who does that is like a person who builds their house on a rock. You know, the storms come, the floods come, but the house stands because they built it on a rock. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
Oh, my goodness. So I want to encourage you, no matter what age you are, that, you know, we're seeing exactly what you see, you know, what God talks about in his word. And that, you know, everybody's supposed to know the Lord's voice. My sheep know my voice. And one way we can repent as Christians is we can say, you know, I am not going to be satisfied until I can hear the voice of the Lord. And coming soon on VFN TV is going to be, you know, the voice of the Lord, just talking about, you know, hearing God's voice and some of our personal experiences and things that God has said to us and how, because he just speaks it. He created everything that you see, and he's holding everything together. He exists outside of time. And so everything in life, he's speaking. I mean, he even tells us that even in nature itself, in Romans, I believe, chapter 1, he says, when you look at the creation, you can see God's invisible qualities, you know, in that causes men to be without excuse. I mean, just looking at, you know, think about it. Isn't that something? Think about it. And so understand that you're called to a relationship. You're called to have this awesome journey with God. And you don't want to just be Jamie and just be Cooper and Jaden and Barbara and others. You want to be you too. It's for all of us. And so I just want to encourage you. As a matter of fact, we'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, Greg, what's so encouraging about abiding is that you can have your own experience with the Lord. You know, many people are out there right now, and they're trying, and they really want to hear and learn something from God, but they're reading devotionals.
Yeah.
That's another person's abiding experience. That's what God told someone else.
Yeah.
But guess what? There is good news, Greg.
Yeah.
You can go to iabide.org, and you can follow a simple plan where you can hear God directly speak to you. Is that amazing?
Well, think about it. Their personal abiding experience was so powerful. You might be reading about their personal body experience today, calling it a devotional, and it is affecting you some way. You're actually eating another man's groceries. Do you know that God has food for you? Taste and see the Lord is good. Do you know that he has more than enough? He wants a personal abiding relationship with you. And you can find out more about that, just like you said, John, at iabide.org. You know, you write your own devotionals. When you start abiding with God, we have 8-year-olds that are writing their own devotionals. And it's their own personal time with God, and they're writing it down, and it's a powerful encounter. Nobody can take that from them.
Fresh bread. Fresh manna daily.
Oh, my goodness. iabide.org. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man, you know, on the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
It's kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But
course, you know, that's what VFNU is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network University, is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know. And by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen. And they just couldn't get it. And but just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
There's this restaurant. It's called Tim's Place. It's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it is a father who helped his son, the very first a person who has Down syndrome, to own their own business. And his father helped him to establish the business. And he has built this business on hugs. I mean, he built it on hugs. I think he has a counter where he builds it to, like, he's like 18,000 hugs so far. And it says, you know, he talks about, you know, you can get a hug and breakfast. You know, he's just so loving. He delivers the food to the tables, and it's his restaurant. And he have other people running the kitchen back there. But he's built this young man with Down syndrome, built his restaurant, successful restaurant called Tim's Place. And I think they're talking about, even about franchising. It's Albuquerque, New Mexico. That just hugging people. You know, think about it. Just loving on them. A Down syndrome young man understands what so many don't understand, that God's kingdom is built on love. I mean, Jesus told us in John 13, 34 through 35, he says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And it's us loving each other. You know, it's us. And that happens in the context of family. It doesn't happen with a memo. It don't happen with a tweet. You know, I Twittered you, right? I tweeted you. I loved you. You know, it happens in the context of family, where you live your day-to-day life. You don't really know if you love somebody until you start living life with them, right?
Right.
So there'd be people that say, you know, we're going to get married. Oh, we just love each other. We love each other. They get married, you know, it's like, you know, I've been thinking about this. No. Now you're about to discover what love is. Now you're gone to love. And so he built his whole restaurant, Barbara. He built his whole restaurant on, you know, he's just very compassionate. He goes there, and they come in there, and he just gives them a hug, whether they're the hugging type or not. And when they come back, they'll come back again for breakfast. I mean, how many ways can you do breakfast? You know what I'm saying? But you can do a hug every day. You can get a hug. Imagine that. If you go there to get something to eat, you know, and you get a hug at the same time. Isn't that amazing? And that's, you know, that's what it is when we come together in our VFN churches. You know, obviously it's like that. But if you be that person. If in your gathering, you know, where you gather together in your church and everybody's just kind of a business, like, just start grabbing people and hugging people. And loving on him. I mean, if he can give 18,000 hugs and have a successful restaurant, I mean, and he could be a believer, you know, obviously he could be. But you know, that's going to set your gathering apart. You know, that's where it's going to draw people to want to come to God. He says it's the drawing of it. It's our unity that lets people know that they're loved by God as much as he loves his son in John 17:23. I can't believe it that we're coming, Barbara, to the end of the extra. Isn't it amazing how quickly it flies?
Amazing. I can't believe it's over. Can't believe it.
I am so glad that you joined us. I want to say a big shout out there to all of our listeners. We are now coming to a close. Can you believe it? Thank you for listening to VFN Radio, the extra hour. We'll be joining you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We'll play all day long on the loop. Catch us live.